We're going to turn again in God's Word to Genesis 22. And our text for this morning is the verse 8, although I hope to take most of the passage into consideration. So Genesis chapter 22 and the verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. And we need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us ask the Lord for his help to be given. Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks for the beautiful words that are before us. What a wonderful gospel picture is set forth here in these words in Genesis. And Lord, we look to thee for the help of Almighty God to be granted to us. Oh, we pray for that illumination of the sacred page. We pray that the Spirit will indeed take thy word and open up our hearts to it. Grant that needed help of the Spirit. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews asserts that Abraham was a great man of faith. He had moved to Canaan in faith, leaving the Ur of Chaldees behind. He had long awaited the birth of Isaac in faith, though it was not always strong faith, but nonetheless he had awaited the birth of Isaac in faith. Like any saint, the faith of Abraham had to be tested. Henry Law said, "Faith untried, unprobed, unproved is faith uncertain." In other words, in the life of every believer, our faith is to be put to the test. And so this great chapter opens with the words that God did tempt, or more accurately it would be translated, God did test Abraham. And so the words are not suggesting that God tempted Abraham to sin, but there was here a testing of Abraham's faith. Now this testing was ultimately for Abraham's good, as well as our good in the latter part of the chapter. And the Lord commends Abraham for his obedience. And in verse 18 it says, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And so Abraham's faith, we benefit from that today, but there's also many lessons for us in this particular chapter for the testing and the proving of our faith. Now, his faith was greatly tested when he received this word from the Lord. For the Lord was testing him on the thing that surely was most precious to him, the very life of his son Isaac. And so in verse 2 it says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." And you'll see there the word son is supplied. It's in italics. "Take now thy son, thine only Isaac." And of course, Isaac was not, strictly speaking, Abraham's only son. There was also Ishmael. But what has been emphasized here is that Isaac was the son of promise. "Take your son, your only." And it was his only in this sense, that he was the son of promise. And remember also, Ishmael by this time had been sent away. He was the one in whom all Abraham's hope rested, that the great promises that had been made to Abraham were to be fulfilled through Isaac. And therefore Abraham understood that Isaac must live. And yet the Lord was saying here, take this son and offer him for a burnt offering. Now, as the challenge was put to Abraham, we find that Abraham readily obeyed. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't take weeks to contemplate over this matter. Rather, he immediately set about on this journey towards Mount Moriah, to this place that God had said that the offering was to take place. And there's no mention of him talking to Sarah about this. Perhaps if he didn't, the reason is because Abraham, as we find in this chapter, had every confidence that Isaac would actually return. But they set off. And in verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, the servants, abide ye here with the ass, the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I want you to notice those words. We will go and worship. We will come again to you. Now, how could Abraham say that when he anticipated that Isaac was going to be slain on this mountain? Well, the key to that is explained in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And in verse 19, Hebrews 11, 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. And Abraham believed in the resurrection. As such then, Isaac coming off the altar is a wonderful picture of Christ's resurrection. But what I want to emphasize here today is this, that Abraham believed that God indeed was able to raise his son. And so we have Abraham's faith in the midst of this testing shining through, this expectation that Isaac would return to the servants and therefore he would return back home to his mother Sarah. But we also see Abraham's faith in this great statement in verse 8. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, whether Abraham fully understood the full ramification of these words, I don't know. Certainly, the New Testament says that Abraham rejoiced to see the day. And so it may well be that Abraham did look right forward that day. Certainly, at the end of the day, he did. But as he spoke these words, God will provide himself a lamb. They were not only words that had great significance for that day, in that there would be provided a lamb for a burnt offering. But these words were highly prophetic, that there would be one who would come, who would be the great lamb of God's providing. And all down through the Old Testament, as the lambs were sacrificed, these words would echo, God will provide himself a lamb. That is, each lamb was brought into the temple for the morning sacrifice, for the evening sacrifice. These words would echo still, there is yet a greater lamb to be provided. And remember how John the Baptist then saw that Christ Jesus was that lamb of Genesis 22. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And John the Baptist was saying, God has provided the lamb.
Now, the key to understanding this chapter really lies in this word, provide. God will provide himself a lamb. In the Hebrew, the word provide is actually also the Hebrew word for see. And so in the verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And the word looked here is the same Hebrew word that is translated provided. In verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And this word Jireh is this word provide or see. As it is to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now for us, reading these words in English, we might wonder, how can provide and see be the same word? Well, the word provide in Hebrew then has this idea, God will see to it. God will see to it. God will provide himself a lamb. God will see to it that there is a lamb. And as he provides it, he will see it. It will be before his eyes. And here then we have this wonderful lesson set forth in the very name of God, Jehovah Jireh. God is the God who sees. God is the God who sees to it. God is the God who provides. Now we could take these words and speak of the various provision that the Lord makes to his people on a daily basis. And we could say that's the secondary lesson in this chapter. But the great lesson in this chapter, the primary lesson in this chapter is God provides a lamb. That is, God has provided our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this provision of the Lamb that we want to consider together today. God's provision of the Lamb. I want to say, first of all, that this provision was shown at the right time. It was shown at the right time. And you see, as Isaac climbed this mountain with Abraham, Isaac was unaware of what lay before him. He didn't know that he was the one that was to be placed upon the altar. And he did not know that there was going to be another who would be provided in his place. And so as he asked the question, where is the lamb? Isaac had no idea that Abraham still expected that Isaac was to be the one who was slain. And so even for Abraham, as he climbed the mountain, he had no anticipation that there was going to be the provision of a lamb, this ram caught in the thicket. He expected that Isaac was going to die. But it was in the moment of greatest extremity. It was in the time of greatest need that this lamb then was seen. It was in that moment that it was provided. And so as Abraham came to the place that the Lord had identified, the altar was prepared. The wood was let out. Isaac was bound to it. Abraham lifted the knife to slay his son. And the Lord called in verse 12, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad." Verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And so it wasn't until the moment of greatest extremity, the very moment when the knife was about to pierce his son, that the eyes of Abraham were lifted to see that the ram was provided. For Isaac, it wasn't until he was about to be pierced that his attention was lifted to the ram. In the moment of greatest extremity, the lamb was seen. And I believe here is a wonderful picture of the reality of conversion. You see, what the sinner needs is to see Christ and him crucified.
He needs to see him by faith. He needs attention to be brought to the provision of Calvary. But the sinner lives his life indifferent to the provision of Calvary. The sinner lives his life living as if he has no need of a lamb. In that sense, they are like Isaac climbing the mountain. Isaac did not even realize that this was his need. And men and women and young people go through life and they live as if they have no need of a lamb. The sinner lives his life expecting that all is well. And when is the sinner shown Christ? In his hour of desperation. In that time of great conviction of sin. It is at that time when the sinner is brought, alerted by the Spirit of God to his need. And the sinner feels the weight of his sin. The sinner feels that he is rightly about to be cast into hell. And in his moment of desperation, the Lord shows the cross to him. You think of the conversion of Spurgeon. One wintry Lord's Day morning, he made his way into a little Methodist church. He was miserable. He was in desperation. He had been alerted to all of his need. He recognized that he was not right with God. And he longed to be at peace with God. But in that moment of desperation, the sermon was preached in that little building. Isaiah 45 verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And that day in his darkest hour, in the moment in which he felt he was about to perish forever, the Lord opened his eyes. The Lord had provided a lamb. But until that moment, Spurgeon had not seen it. But in that moment of desperation, it was seen. Or you could think of that time in the ministry of Jonathan Edwards as he preached that great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. There were those in that meeting that were brought under mighty conviction of sin. And such was the weight of sin that they felt upon them. Such was the agony of soul. They began to grip the very furniture. They felt that they were slipping into everlasting hell. But it was in that time of great distress that the eyes of sinners were opened and they saw the provision of the Lamb. They saw that Christ was slain in their place. They saw that their hell, as it were, had been taken by the Lamb. And in their moment of desperation, they looked and they were saved. And today then the question must come to all of our souls today. Have you looked to the Lamb? Have you looked to this great provision? And perhaps there's one in the meeting and you sit on in another meeting like this. And you're just like the world around you. You have no sense of need. No sense of guilt. And you live as if the message of the cross is an irrelevance. And oh, that today that you would be brought to feel like Isaac on the altar. That the sword of God's wrath is about to pierce you. Oh, that you would feel like Isaac, that you are deserving of everlasting destruction. As you would recognize your sinfulness and the perfect justice of God, that this would be the day when you would see there's a lamb provided in the stead
of the guilty. So the provision was shown at the right time. But I want to say that this provision was motivated by great grace.
For as we think of Abraham, Abraham had not been crying out to God, provide a lamb. As we think of Isaac had not been crying out that another lamb would be provided in his place. Now, Abraham had great expectation. I've already noted that Abraham was expecting a great miracle to take place. But Abraham had not recognized that God had an even greater plan than his. And therefore, I say that this was gracious in the sense that this was not something that Abraham had requested. This great plan of the ram being caught in the thicket was entirely God's plan. It was entirely God's program. It was entirely God's great revelation. And in his hour of need then, what we see is God's grace, God's provision, God's great revelation. I'm reminded of those words of Isaiah 65, verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. And there are those that go through life and they are indifferent to their need, indifferent to their sin, indifferent to the cross. And the Lord intervenes mightily in a moment in which the sinner least expects it. The sinner is brought to cry unto the Lord because, as Isaiah says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. God's grace. And as God's grace was seen on this particular place at this particular time, years later, this would again be a place of God's grace. Remember that time when David was in great consternation as a plague had come upon the people of God on account of David's sin in taking that census. David came to the threshing floor of Ornan. He purchased that site that an altar might be built. This was on this same mountain. This site where Abraham saw God's grace. David witness God's grace. The temple was to be built in that place. And you think of how day by day the lambs were slain, the blood shed at the temple. It was all a testimony of grace. And we're pointed then right forth to our Lord being crucified outside Jerusalem. All of God's grace. What man asked Almighty God to send his own dear son to take human flesh and die in our place? Not one. This message is entirely of God's grace. It was motivated by God's grace. But I want to see then, thirdly, that this provision was accomplished, or has accomplished a glorious salvation. It accomplished a glorious salvation. For in this scene, the demands of justice were met. Now, it was not God's purpose, of course, that children would be sacrificed. But in asking Abraham to bring Isaac, what the Lord was showing to Abraham was this, that Isaac was a sinner, that Isaac was guilty, that Isaac was deserving of punishment. So I emphasize God was not asking for child sacrifice. But all this was showing the guilt of the sinner. And as then God cried for the sparing of Isaac, and the lamb was provided, we have here this wonderful picture that the demands of justice were met. If you look at the end of verse 13,
Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
So God was demanding death. God was demanding the shedding of blood. And how were those demands met?
In the offering of the ram. And so God's word says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
God's justice says the sinner must experience the fierce wrath of God. But Christ has said, I will stand in the sinner's place.
Christ was offered in the stead of the sinner, in his place. The demands of justice have been met. That is, there has been death. There has been the shedding of blood, but one has taken the place of the sinner. And this offering was the offering of the burnt offering. The burnt offering. That idea, or the idea in the burnt offering, is the offering that is completely destroyed, but its merits ascend. The Hebrew has this idea, the offering of the ascension. Hebrews 5 verse 2, it speaks there of Christ's sacrifice. It was an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. The benefit of it rose up. And as Christ then was sacrificed, it was a sacrifice that has met the demands of Almighty God. The Father is well pleased with the sacrifice of the Son. But I want to see then also that the qualifications for substitution were met. You see, not any lamb would have been suitable to offer in Isaac's place. This is something that is made very clear in the Old Testament law. The Jews could not offer a lamb that was torn. His skin was torn. They could not offer a lamb that was diseased. But it was to be one that was perfect, unblemished. So in verse 13, it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And those words, by his horns, they reveal to us here was a lamb that was suitable. It wasn't caught by its fleece. Otherwise, it would have been torn. It would have been unsuitable. But as the ram was caught by its horns, it remained that lamb without blemish, without spot. And here is a wonderful picture then of Christ. In order for him to be our substitute, he could not himself be a sinner. He could not be one that had guilt of his own. The guilt was guilt imputed to him. He was made sin for us, but he himself, as he was brought and presented, was the lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember how Peter spoke of how the one who is redeemed, who is redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ is the one that meets the criteria. Again, thinking of those thorns. Surely the thorns wrapped around the head of the ram are again a wonderful portrayal of Calvary. Remember, the thorns are a clear reminder of Genesis 3, the curse. Here the curse was as it were upon the head of the ram. We think of Christ bearing that crown of thorns. The curse was laid upon him. The qualifications for substitution were met. And here, dear sinner, you're reminded that there is no one can help you but Christ. There is no one who can save you but Christ. He alone meets the qualifications. But I want to see then, thirdly, under this point, that the life of the sinner was spared. The life of the sinner was spared. As have been emphasized, this ram was offered up in Isaac's stead, in his place. And so the ram was slain, but Isaac lived. And you think of Isaac then coming down off the altar and seeing his father, who in this place was performing the work of the priest, and seeing his father take that ram and offer the ram. Surely Isaac could say, "This lamb has taken my place." He could say, "I should have felt the force of that knife. I should have experienced the fire. But the ram has taken my place." And dear believer, this is the testimony of every true Christian. We stand, as it were, at the altar of Isaac. We look at that altar. As we see that knife, we see the sword of God's justice. It ought to have pierced me. Such was the heinousness of my sin, the awfulness of my sin. I ought to be experiencing in everlasting hell the sword of God. I ought to be experiencing the fire, the everlasting fire of eternal destruction. But I stand at the altar and I look at the ram and I say, "Here is Christ. He has taken my place. He has taken my hell, every part of it." Remember how in the garden he saw that cup, speaking of the wrath of God, and he drank it all. He drank damnation dry. And oh, today, dear sinner, it is as if you're on the altar. It's as if the sword is held out against you. There is the fire that is awaiting you. But oh, today, that your eyes would be lifted, and by faith that you would look to our blessed Lamb provided. Today, that you would come down, as it were, from that altar, that you would see the provision that is made for you in Christ. But I want to see then also that the salvation that was experienced at this altar had many accompanied blessings. You see, that day Isaac lived. What a wonderful thing this was. If that was all that Isaac experienced, that in itself was a great thing. But there was so much more for Isaac to enjoy. The Lord had great things for Isaac to experience in coming days. Now, in light of that, I want you to see in verse 12. The Lord says, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You didn't withhold your son from me. In verse 16, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee." And so, for Abraham, as he saw this wonderful picture, the blessing for Abraham was not merely in seeing Isaac live, though it was that, but there was so much more beside. "In blessing I will bless thee." Now, Paul takes those wonderful statements of verses 12 and 16, and in Romans chapter 8, he applies them in the gospel. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son.
In other words, Paul is saying, Abraham didn't spare Isaac. And the Father has not spared Christ. The Father did not keep Christ back from the sinner.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things.
Do you think of this wonderful picture? The Father has not spared the Son. The believer has life. We live. Hell will never see us. We have eternal life.
But salvation is more than a ticket to heaven. There are so many other blessings beside. We are adopted into His family. We are made inheritors. We are His children. We are seated with Christ in glory. And the list goes on. And so we are reminded that as the Father did not hold back Christ, He gave Him up so that so many blessings would indeed be given to us. There are all of these spiritual blessings. And then there are daily physical blessings that are added. And surely what we are being taught in this chapter is this. Believer, trust God more. The Father provided the Son.
The Father saw to it that you would be redeemed. If He can do that, can He not meet your material need? Can He not ensure that there's bread on the table, a home to live in? Can He not ensure that all of your various anxieties can be allayed? This is a God that is worth trusting. And maybe the Lord has been asking you to give up your Isaac. Maybe there's something that you count most dear. Maybe even there's something that you've been putting before God Himself. And the Lord is putting you to the test. Will you give it up? And this chapter shows, as we yield all to the Lord, what blessing there is to reap. But we must move on and see, lastly, that this salvation brought the greatest worship. And I think again of that verse 5. Genesis 22, verse 5. Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now surely, there was going to be a struggle for Abraham to worship. He was obedient. For Isaac, being bound on the altar, there was going to be a struggle to worship. But as the lamb was provided, this place was indeed the place of greatest worship. A ram offered in the stead of Isaac. Worship they did. And this was not only to be worship for one day, but worship continually. And we'll see in continual weeks that there were troubles in Isaac's life later in life. We'll see how he desired for Esau what God had promised for Jacob. What went wrong for Isaac? Surely what went wrong for Isaac was this. He forgot about the altar. He forgot about the ram that was offered in his place. And you and I are like Isaac. The Lord has spared us so wonderfully. But our walk is not always what it should be. There are times that we want for
for Esau what God has promised for Jacob.
We go against the very will and purpose of God. And why is it? We've forgotten the altar. We've forgotten Calvary.
And is that not why the Lord has given us the table? This do in remembrance of me. Because we are so prone to forget. We are so prone to forget all the Lord has done for us. To live without that gratitude and worship that is owed to the Lord. May we come back to Mount Moriah, as it were, today. May we stand at the altar and rejoice that Christ has taken our place. And oh, today, if there is one who is yet unbelieving, we cry to you, dear sinner, today, look to the Lamb and be saved. We trust the Lord will take his word and write it upon all of our hearts. Amen. Amen.